Welcome
Thanks.
to our virtual. Sorry.
No, please go ahead. That's what I was going to ask if you could do.
Sure. Welcome to our virtual meeting. We are going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video for purposes of form and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you're speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Members can rename themselves if they wish to add pronouns after your name. Use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all participants may be unmuted briefly. Staff, please click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. Staff will tell you when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it through the email listed on today's agenda. Please do not use your video. If you turn on video, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Jim. Do you have any notified absences?
I do not.
Let's do the roll call, please.
Okay, Oliver Revere.
Here.
Oliver is here. Ms. Clemens.
Here.
Ms. Clemens is here. Chair, we do have quorum.
Thank you. And do we have any public comment?
We do not have any general public comment.
Okay. Next, members of the committee, if you have any disclosures or recusals, please do those now. Seeing none, our agenda item today is an operator license application from Joshua Drabek, and the establishment we're employed is Festival Foods. Captain Hartman, can you please start us off by explaining why this application was flagged?
Good afternoon. Thank you. And this one in the background investigation, several of the items that were listed, the offenses, were in the packet, but there was one in there that we found was not. So not all of the things were listed. So under the guidelines, number one, we do have several felonies that are listed in the background investigation. And then guideline number five, there were a few that were missing out of there. So the applicant must truthfully and completely fill out the application. And again, missed a couple of the felonies that were listed in there. So the very first one that I'll bring to the attention, I had show here listed as being in 2006, and this is going to be for a first degree sexual assault of a child with great bodily harm, second degree sexual assault of a child, and child abuse intentionally cause harm. The conviction date of that was in February of 2014, and those list as felony class B, felony class C, and felony class H. The second set of charges that were listed here in the application, I show a date of April 2011, and that is another second degree sexual assault of a child, intent to contribute delinquency of child, fourth degree sexual assault of a child, and fourth degree sexual assault of a child. The conviction of that is in November of 2011, being one a class, felony class C for the second degree sexual assault of a child, and then three misdemeanor A's for the intent to contribute delinquency of a child and the two fourth degree sexual assaults of a child. And the final one being listed as a May of 2011, repeated sexual assault of the same child, at least three violations of first and second degree sexual assault. Conviction date for that was July of 2013, and that was a felony class C there.
Thank you, Captain Hartman. Mr. Verbeek, do we have the applicant in Zoom?
Jim, you're muted.
Thank you for telling me that. We have two registrations. Josh Dravik, the applicant, is registered, as well as Bob Anderson, who's here to speak on for him as well. They're both registered, and they're both sharing the same call for Bob. So I'll ask him to unmute now, and then he can speak.
Thank you. Mr. Drabek, if you could please share anything you'd like to share for the consideration of our committee relevant to this application, and please keep your remarks to about 3 minutes.
Right, hang on. May I ask a question, please? My name is Bob.
Is it about like a procedural matter?
Actually, what I'd like to do is I'm the one who registered to speak. Josh is registered to provide answers. Is it okay if I present?
We'd like to hear from the applicant first, please.
Okay.
So I'm Josh, just for the audio. For this information, as far to my knowledge, I filled all of the information out as best as I could following the CCAP information that I could pull from myself on the CCAP website. I did not intend to miss any. One of those felonies is with not great bodily harm, without threat or force. So that was incorrect reading. These felonies are a very long time ago. I'm 32 now. I haven't committed any violations or any felony charges, misdemeanor charges. I completed probation with flying colors. All of my guidelines and treatments. I've been a solid member of the community since being released to the community. I don't think I have anything else. Oh, sorry, one more thing. I apologize. And none of my felonies had anything to do or the use of alcohol or drugs during the offenses.
Thank you, Mr. Drabek. We can let's hear next from the other registrant and then go to questions from the committee.
All right. Hi there. My name is Bob Anderson. I'm going to keep this as short as I can. I read through the guidelines. In regards to substantially related, there is no substantial relation because there are no, as Mr. Drabek said, there are no alcohol-related offenses. In guideline number two, it talks about offenses within 5 or within 10 years. His offenses are 15 to 20 years old, so they are not relevant under that guideline as much. Under the habitual offender, with the three convictions out there, I don't believe that that meets the definition of habitual. And again, he's got a 15 plus year break with no offenses of any kinds in there. I also, under guideline 6, under the rehabilitation, it doesn't, that particular one doesn't, excuse me, doesn't seem to apply because everything underneath the rehabilitation talks about AODA treatment. And since there were no drugs or alcohol involved, there was no AODA treatment. The two things I would touch on as far that I think would be more relevant to the rehabilitation is he is currently in a long-term committed relationship with a young lady, and he has an absolutely beautiful and amazing young 2-year-old daughter. And he is, stepping up. He has done a great job since he got out. He completed all of the terms of his punishment, if you will, and he's doing what he can to move forward. And then the last point would be his employer is very well aware of the charges and what is on his history because they ran a background check. They're willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and give him a second chance. I'm really hoping that you also see fit to go along with what the employer's thought is to give him a chance. That was all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we turn it to questions for the applicant or for staff, just going to revisit guideline 5 of our operator application guidelines, which is applicants may tr must truthfully and completely fill out applications. If an applicant provides false information on an application, the application shall be denied and the applicant shall not be eligible to reapply for an operator license for a period of 1 year from the date of denial. If the ALRC determines that the information was intentionally omitted, the application shall be denied and the applicant shall not be eligible to reapply for a period of 1 year from denial of such application. And if we determine that the information omitted was due to an inadvertence, mistake, or excusable neglect, we may allow the applicant to submit a corrected application and recommend granting of the license if the applicant is otherwise qualified. So, with that, I would like to turn to the committee for questions for the applicant or for staff. Attorney Zilevy, I see your hand is raised. Please go ahead.
Oops.
It looks like you are still muted.
I can't put my camera on for some reason. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So the applicant said that he was looking at CCAP to get the information, and CCAP explicitly lists every single offense that was referenced. So I am curious why he did not include the information on CCAP if he was actually looking at CCAP like he said he was.
Thank you. Mr. Drabek, would you like to respond to that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. I did use CCAP to get the information. I used the state statute numbers instead of writing it all out. While going through it, clicking through each of them, I tried to make sure that I got all of them. And to be honest, I'm not exactly sure which one was missed.
I'll ask
There were.
Captain Hartman.
Oops.
Sorry, go ahead, Attorney Zilby.
I was just going to say there were several that were missed. And again, each offense is listed separately on CCAP. So why did you not just list the offenses as you saw them?
As far as I'm aware, on the form that I filled out, I did list the ones that Officer Hartman read in this meeting.
Captain Hartman, can you clarify for us? I believe you said that there were three felonies from 2006 that were not listed on the application.
So yes, let me see if I can get them all here in front of me. All right. So the very first ones that I know were not listed in there was the first degree sexual assault of a child with great bodily harm, felony B, second degree sexual assault of a child, felony C, and the child abuse intentionally caused harm, the felony H. The other one that was not listed was another second degree sexual assault of a child, a felony C. And then he did list the misdemeanor of the fourth degree sexual assault. There's actually two that I show of those that were pled guilty due to a no contest plea. He lists one of the two there. And then in the final one, he did list the repeated sexual assault of the same child, the 940.225 parents 3M listed there. So, yeah, missed several of the felonies listed in there and one misdemeanor.
Thank you. Mr. Drabek, you can respond, please.
Thank you. What was the first one that I put in on the application because I'm very confident that one should have been the one with great without great bodily harm or force, which we keep saying is with great harm, but it states without as the enhancer on CCAP here that I'm looking at.
And
So yeah.
the face sheet that I have from our records who does the background listed as first degree sexual assault of a child, sorry, without great bodily harm. I apologize if I read that wrong. Is that the one you're referring to?
That is, and that should be the very first one that I placed on the application. Because that one should state the number, and then I attach the without great bodily harm enhancers, which should be the subsection. No, I'm looking at the wrong one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not. Is that the one from 2006?
That's the one from 2006, correct?
There is nothing on your application listed from 2006.
Oh, I thought I saw something. I apologize. I thought I saw something when I was clicking through the website.
Sorry, I put all of the conviction dates, and I'm not exactly sure if you were looking for the conviction dates or looking for the offense dates because they were very vast time differences. So I went with the best knowledge that I could, which was being convicted of the felony. And that's why I went with the state statutes and went with the January or February of the years that I placed it because that was the time frame that I was going to court for it. But I was definitely 100% not trying to hide any information through this process. I was just trying to make sure that I had the most accurate that I could provide you guys, and that's why I was using the state statute numbers.
It does appear that it's, not just one thing missing. It is, if I'm following correctly, about four of the felonies and one of the misdemeanors that are not listed on the application.
You pull them from this list, or did you pull
I
them
pulled them
from
from that
this?
list, correct? Sorry, I apologize.
Okay, I believe I see the mistake that was made when Josh was doing it. If you look on CCAP, it lists four case numbers. And those are what he cited on his application. He didn't, I don't believe he opened each individual case to see the number of items within, because there is a 519-2011 case reference 2011 CF 00872. There's two in 2012, which are both 2012 CF 00. One is or 000293 and a 002344. I believe that was what he was attempting to list on there. I don't believe there was any attempt to hide anything. I think he just took, like I did, I used the cover sheet. When I log into CCAP, I see those three and then some traffic violation in 2022. Those are the only things that are listed on the faceplate of CCAP. So if he didn't open each one individually, he would have missed writing down the individual convictions since there are multiples under some. So I like I said, I don't believe there was any intent on his part to hide anything from you. I think it was just an honest mistake. He took these case numbers at their face value.
Except he knew he had convictions on those other things that he didn't list.
May I speak a moment?
What, who are you, anyways? You haven't identified.
I'm Josh Drabeck, the
Oh, I
applicant.
mean, Bob. Who is Bob? What is his connection to you?
He's the father of my granddaughter.
So you have a familial relationship with Mr. Drabek. Is that correct? Just it's
Yes.
confusing for the committee because
Got you.
we have
Understand.
one
Right. I
person
am.
joining in
Yeah.
Zoom.
True. I apologize for that. It was just more convenient to be on the same one. Yes. Like I said, Josh and my daughter are not married. They are in a long-term committed relationship. So, yes, he is the father of my granddaughter.
Okay, thank you. Are there other questions? questions from committee members or staff?
Would I be able to answer Jennifer's question?
Let me add a question and then maybe you could address them together.
Absolutely.
I wanted to clarify that the application says list all citations, tickets, municipal ordinance violations, and criminal convictions, excluding parking tickets. Attach additional paper if necessary. Just noting that three lines were filled here, but since there were additional convictions to include, a supplemental paper could have been included. I would like the applicant to, address if he noticed that part of the application. And then if there is anything else that the applicant would like to share regarding proof of rehabilitation, because we haven't really heard much on that point other than the point that these charges were and convictions were some time in the past. And didn't involve alcohol. Is there anything else you can share regarding rehabilitation as we're considering this application?
Absolutely. So to answer the first question, I did see that it did say I could attach extra paper. I was using the digital option to fill out the information. So I didn't know if there was a limit issue there. When filling it out, I filled out to the best of my knowledge. I tried to make sure that the sexual assaults were included, all of the convictions, everything minus parking tickets. I did see that on the application. To answer Jennifer's question that she had, I feel very strongly that I did try to provide that there are sexual assaults cases and that all of my felonies and all of my convictions while on there. The only thing I tried to streamline was using the state statute numbers, thinking that that was what would help trigger you guys seeing all of the correct. There was no intent to hide anything. And to answer the chair's question in terms of rehabilitation, as I stated, all of these things happen when I would have been a teenager or young juvenile. I have spent all of my adult life, so 18 to 32, getting better, going through things. During the process, my static 980 did not indicate that there was a reoffense issue and that I had a very low risk for any type of reoffense in this particular field or any type of violent felonies. As I said, I think the thing I have is a traffic violation since being released, which is very minor. And as to answer more for rehabilitation, I maintain a job as a felon. I like pay bills. I work hard. I try to be a member of my community to people around me. I try to help where I can. The reality is that these felonies make my life incredibly hard, but yet I don't hold any ill will. I don't hold any grudge or any anger. I am simply just an individual trying to go through this process because my employer wants me to have a liquor license. I have never been one to drink. I've never been one to abuse substances. That has never been something that I have an issue with. So I'm not really sure how to address rehabilitation for an issue that I don't have. But I can confidently say that I can maintain all of the standards that the license requires and making sure that alcohol is sold properly within the capacity in the city.
Thank you, Mr. Drabek. I'm pausing now to see if there are questions from committee members, for staff, or for the applicant.
Here, I'll go ahead and ask some questions if now is appropriate time.
Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. I have some questions, perhaps to follow up what I earlier heard you say, Joshua, and that is first, could you review for us your work history in more specifics than was already mentioned by you and Bob?
Yes. Can I ask just a clarifying question first?
Go ahead.
How far back are we looking to go? Like from release or?
I mean, I don't know if you've had a lot of different employers, and I don't looking for a lot of specificity. Maybe I should have started the other way chronologically. When were you released from incarceration? What year was that?
That would have been 2019.
Okay. And when were you discharged? You said you successfully completed your paper. When were you discharged by DOC?
2022.
Okay. Yeah, so why don't you, unless there's like a lot of different employers, why don't you just generally talk about your employment, please, since you were discharged from prison, were released from prison?
Definitely. I have done sales is just a regular sales individual. I've worked with a company called Task dealing with H like FSAs, HSAs, things like that, and making sure people are using their money correctly for those things. I've worked at Culver's as an assistant manager. I've worked at Spare Time as a ops manager. I've worked at Speedway as a manager. I've spent majority of my time out as a manager. For different roles, different companies. And the only reason I've pivoted different roles is due to I desired larger income and more opportunities than what any one of the individual employers were offering at the time.
You're testifying that you voluntarily left each of those positions that you just articulated for us?
Correct.
Okay, very good. And how long have you been with your current employer?
Since February.
And that's in a management position or no?
Correct. In their center store.
I'm sorry, what store did you say?
In it's the grocery, frozen, dairy, stuff like that, but it's the center part of their store.
Oh, I see. Center. Okay, thank you. But they want you to become a licensed operator in the city of Madison because they want you to cover the alcohol or liquor department from time to time, or you would transfer there.
Yeah, it is more of just for a coverage, and they just have a policy that at the management level you go through this process with the city, and then the result is goes through that process. But no, it is not to change roles to solely be selling alcohol. I think at most 5% or less of my time would be dedicated to that, and that's covering 15 or 30 minute breaks if need be.
I see. Thank you for sharing all that. And I appreciate that you've mentioned several times now that alcohol isn't an issue in your life, was never an issue, wasn't a part of the involvement in the crimes that you were convicted of. That's all correct, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And so there was absolutely no treatment that you received with the Department of Corrections be
Sorry.
related to that because it wasn't an issue. Did they at least do an assessment to confirm that or?
They did do an assessment, and part of community corrections was to be part of AODA, and so I was placed into it and then phased out of it for no need, and it wasn't related to any of the crimes.
I see.
So, and that would have been with Attic Correctionals, I believe.
Okay. And you were discharged in 2022, you said?
Correct.
Okay. And I presume you're a life registration for a sex offender, so you're compliant with that?
I am compliant with that, yes.
Okay, thank you. Maybe my last question at this point, Joshua, would be, I presume you would have no problem successfully completing a amended application. So to the concern articulated earlier in the meeting that some of your convictions were omitted, and I appreciate your saying that was not willfully, but at a minimum you would be willing to complete a new amended application for us. It's more specifically listing every conviction.
Absolutely, I would be
Okay.
very willing to do that.
Thank you. We've asked applicants to do that in the past from time to time when there are omissions. Okay, thank you very much. That's all I have for now, Chair.
Thanks, Alder Vivier. Is there anything else from staff at this time? Thanking Alder Vivier for covering a lot of the other questions I had in mind about employment and why the applicant was making an application to become an operator. Thank you for clarifying, is that the request of your employer due
Can
to
I
your
ask a
mail?
question?
Sorry, please restate that.
May I ask a question?
There's not at this time, no. I have a question for staff. Jim, if you could give us some history, and certainly Alder Vivier, if you have memories on this as well, in cases where we've had substantial omissions from applications and we ask an applicant for a corrected application, do we collect a corrected application prior to voting to approve or deny the application, or are we sometimes making those decisions concurrently?
I think typically in the past we've allowed the committee to move forward and then have taken those updated applications before the next meeting. So the recommendations from this subcommittee will go to the July 15th ALRC meeting. I think most times we need an updated application, it's usually at the full meeting, and so we ask that before the Common Council meeting. If this subcommittee wanted to make that requirement before the full body of the ALRC, they could certainly do so, but it's kind of up to you. But it's kind of up to the committee if you want to wait until the application is updated or if you want to take an action now and then just set sort of a deadline in which you expect that updated application. That's kind of the way the committee is and subcommittees have run before.
Thanks, Jim. Just a clarification. You mentioned one of the options was asking for a new application and then for this item to appear on an agenda before a full ALRC meeting.
So the actions of this subcommittee don't go directly to the council. They would provide a recommendation to the full body of the ALRC at their next full meeting, which is July 15th.
Okay. Okay. Another question for staff. Noting that we have only two committee members, voting committee members here today. What would happen in the event of a motion where we had a split vote? Would just not carry?
Yeah, there would, if you don't have a majority to pass an action, and you can't pass, you'd either have to go to a different action or there would just be no action on the item and it would carry over to a future meeting.
Thanks, Jim. Alder Vivier, what I'm inclined to do is appreciating the information that the applicant has shared and that, trying to, remain in good, standing in employment with his current role at Festival Foods, and that this is something management has asked of him, and he doesn't anticipate actively using this operator license except for extraordinary times, even with considering all of that, because of the significant omissions of the four-ish felony convictions here and one misdemeanor, if I understand correctly, my thought is that at the very least, we would need a new application. And I would be in favor of referring this item to an agenda to our July 15th ALRC meeting for a vote by the wider committee. But open to hear your suggestions or motions, Alder.
Thank you, Chair. I'm comfortable with that. So if I understand correctly, why don't I frame it as a motion, what you're suggesting, and make sure I've captured it correctly. So I would formally move to refer this application to the full committee without a formal recommendation from the subcommittee, but contingent on the applicant completing an amended application that fully and truthfully lists each specific criminal conviction. Well, for that matter, forfeitures, we ask for everything. So I'll just say all convictions.
Thank you.
Did I
That is
capture that correctly? So you're not suggesting that we make a recommendation. We, in essence, just punt this to the full committee since there's only two of us present. We don't, and because we have an incomplete application.
correct. That's in line with my suggestion. So I will second your
Okay,
motion.
very good. Thank you.
Just two of us here, but is there any discussion on the motion that we would like to capture? The nothing else from my side.
I'll just ask at this point, Jim, could you please explain to Joshua then if the motion is successful, what his next steps are in terms of the specifics of the meeting date and time and so forth as well? Or do you want to do that after we formally vote?
It doesn't matter. I just had a
Okay.
clarifying question. I own that when this goes the whole body, this should not be in the consent agenda at all. It
Oh,
should
right.
just be.
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So
So Josh.
we tried to, allow the noontime option rather than the 5:30 evening option, but since the application's incomplete, I think we have to, just go to the full committee and not delay the application to a future subcommittee meeting a month from now.
I agree.
Okay, so Josh, what the subcommittee is voting on right now is to not take a rec not make a recommendation to the full committee today. Instead, they were going to refer this application to their next regular meeting, which is going to be on July 15th at 5:30 p.m. It is a hybrid meeting, so you can either participate virtually like you are right now, or you can come in person as in and participate that way. That meeting will be at the City County Building in the Council Chambers in room 210, or sorry, 201 at 210 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. I will send a meeting notice the Friday prior to that meeting, in which you can register just like you did today. And then it is up to your discretion of whether you want to appear in person or virtually. And then the committee will take it up. Typically, as far as the agenda goes, our operators are at the top of the agenda, and so we would get to your application probably be the first item after the general public comment, and then we would get to it, and then we would operate very much like this one did, where the captain would read the charges and you can respond, and then the committee can ask you any questions before they make an action on the item. But as the committee recommended, if you could get us a updated copy of your application, you don't need to complete. You don't need to pay any additional fees. You just need to get us a updated application that lists all your information and the entirety of your charges.
Thank you, Jim. Good. You have a
And
motion
I'll
and
just, if I could just quickly add, if
please.
I understood earlier, Chair, there was some difficulty here because the application was filed electronically instead of that there was a concern about lack of space or additional pages. If that remains an issue, by all means, please, Joshua, submit your application in person in the city clerk's office in the city county building. If you think that that'll present a difficulty, submitting it electronically again. Thanks.
A good point. Yes, thank you. Please do utilize additional pages to list everything out. Okay. We have a motion. We have a second. Is there any additional discussion? Are there any objections to approval of this motion? Seeing none, this motion carries. Thank you. That was the last item on our agenda. So now we can have a entertain a motion for adjournment.
Before I move that, why don't we see what the quick, if there's a quick process question about next steps, because I see the hand raised by the applicant.
Is this a process next steps question, Mr. Drabek?
It is. I just
Please
would
go
like
ahead.
to know when filling the information out, do you want it written full felony identifier or a state statute, just so I am getting it fully correct, because that is my goal.
I'll answer and just say I don't think any of us have memorized the state criminal code. So I would say 99% of similarly situated applicants, Joshua, actually write out the offense.
That
You know,
answers my
we don't
question.
require the statutory references. We don't need the 900, section 900 codes or references. I would leave that out and write out the crimes you've been convicted of, please.
All right. Thank you so much
Appreciate
for
the
your
question.
work.
You're welcome. And with
Okay.
that, I'll move to adjourn formally.
Thank you. I will second that. Are there any objections to adjournment? Okay. Seeing none, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.